Let's move on to our weekly look at economic news. Alternative fuels like ethanol have led a growing interest in green technology, but the high price of oil doesn't hurt that move either. You may not have noticed the prices of other goods like milk and cheese are also going up. Is going green actually to blame? For more, we've got Julianne Malveaux, author, economist, and president of Bennett College. Julianne, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Farai.
So break down what's going on here.
Well, the cost of producing things is going up. So we're talking about the cost of oil going up, but this is just a classic economic case of the other things that you'd use as a substitute for oil, those costs also going up. So ethanol is not that cheap to produce. We think of it as alternative energy source, and certainly it's greener, if you will, than the oil consumption, but it's not necessarily cheaper. And it's having reverberations from in farming, in livestock, the cost of feed, and as you say, the cost of things like milk and cheese.
So how are Americans absorbing these indirect costs? I mean, have people even noticed?
I think people have noticed. I mean, we have seen these prices go up, although not substantially, but by a few pennies. I think people on a budget do notice, and people who are looking for more organic type products may notice as well. I think the place where you really have seen challenges has been in the price of farmland, which has gone up significantly as demand for corn product has gone up. So farming is almost always now agribusiness. The small farmer is nearly extinct. But these price increases, although they may well be temporary, further frustrate, especially young people who might want to be farmers.
So when you think about this, is ethanol a better biofuel than some other ones? And what are the alternatives?
Well, you know, what's going to happen, Fry? This is all going to shake out, but when does it shake out? You know, as economists like to say, in the long run, we'll all be dead. But in the long run, this thing shakes out. Other fuel substitutes that are cheaper will emerge. As the demand for corn products goes down, so will the price of farmland. It's just going to take a minute, and it literally is what we call an unintended consequence of looking at alternatives and dealing with sustainability. The challenge that we have as a culture is that we wait until there's an emergency. This is the kind of research that should have been done 30 years ago. I mean, the first time we had energy crisis issues in the 70s, there was talk about alternate fuel sources and other ways to develop energy. But we moved on it very slowly because as soon as the oil crisis was over with, it was okay. So here we go again.
Now, when you look at things like solar panels for houses, they can be extremely expensive. So when we talk about some of this alternative energy and green on a very personal level for consumers, is it something that most people in the African American community can afford?
It depends. I mean, certainly an NBA player in the African-American community can. But if you're talking about the average earner with earnings of $30,000 a year, absolutely not. Things like solar heating are not only expensive, they're sometimes complicated. It depends on where you live and what your house looks like. Certainly, if you have an existing home, that is not an option for you. If you're building something new, and then the question is what percentage of the population is building something new, it may be an option. While looking at energy responsibility and looking at going green makes a lot of sense as we look at what we're doing to our planet, it is not a cheap proposition. If it were cheap, we'd all be doing it. The fact is that it's costly, it's paradigm shifting. In some cases, as you've seen with alternate fuels, they're difficult to find. So don't get in your car and go somewhere with certain, you know, if you're diesel, you've got to make sure you know where your diesel options are. And so that's really the challenge is that we, all of us who call ourselves environmentalists, can give great speeches and talk about how people should look at alternative sources. But when you get down to the practicality, it just isn't there. And in the communities that are economically challenged, even less so.
So I want to move on to a listener letter. Julianne, we've got Takia Nur Amin. She writes, "This one is for Dr. Malveaux. I have read every money book out there. They all say I need to diversify the types of loans and credit cards I have in order to boost my FICO score. The problem is my score is so low, I don't qualify for the credit cards and loans needed to diversify. And the bills I pay on time regularly, rent, cable, cell phone, car insurance, do nothing to boost my score. What can I do to get my FICO score higher?"
Well, I'd encourage the reader, first of all, or the listener, to continue to pay the bills she does have on time, she may want to look at a secured credit card, which would be a card where she used some of her savings to secure a card at, say, $1,000, charge something on it, and then pay it back in a timely way. That's one of the ways. There's a great book online, Farai. If you go on to www.myfico.com, myfico.com, they've actually got a little booklet there that explains how what your FICO score is and how you can get it up. She's probably going to have to do something drastic, because if she's basically saying, I'm spending everything I earn on my regular bills and I see no way to boost my credit, until she has credit, she can't boost her credit score. One of the components of the FICO score actually is your credit history. In other words, how long you've had credit. So if she went out to get a credit card tomorrow, that quite frankly would not help her at all. It might help her in a year.
Now, explain what FICO is.
Okay, FICO stands for Fair Isaac something, but Fair Isaac Credit Organization, something like that. The score ranges from 300 to 850. The higher the score, the better your credit. For a consumer looking at it, if you want to get a loan, someone with a score of 300 might be offered a loan at 10%, while someone with a score of 850 might be offered a loan at 2%. So the better your credit, the lower the risk you are. I can't tell you how they come up with these scores, because they won't tell anyone. But it's an algorithm that includes all kinds of things. What kind of credit you have. But that's really a small part of it. What kind of credit you have, what's your credit history, how new is your credit, what's your payment history. I mean, the one thing I would implore every listener is to pay your bills on time.
Now, let me ask you, Julianne, if you have things like bounced checks, does that also affect your score?
It doesn't necessarily affect your FICO score, although your bank can report you. And if you've got a bounce check to your credit card, oh, yes, believe me, that will affect your score. The other two things, Farai, that affect your score are how much money you owe. Basically, the proportion between what you owe and how much available credit you have. So if you've got a credit card with a $10,000 limit on it and you're up to $9,000, they're going to look at your record and say, oh, this woman looks pretty overextended. On the other hand, a $10,000 line of credit with a $2,000 debt looks a lot better. And then how long you've had every credit card. So lots of times credit counselors will advise people to cancel credit cards, but you don't want to cancel old ones. If you've had a credit card for a long time and you've been pretty prompt with it, don't cancel that one. Cancel the new one. And don't apply for new cards if you've got some challenges with your FICO score, unless you're trying to establish credit. But you know, these companies will send you cards and they'll say, you know, got a great deal here for you. Literally every little thing you do regarding your credit will affect your FICO score. Good scores are considered 700 and above, and if you've got a score below 600, you've got a lot of trouble.
All right. Well, Julianne, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Julianne Malveau is an author, economist, and president of Bennett College. She joined us from member station WFDD in Greensboro, North Carolina.